This is Coach Lee, and you're listening to The Door Report.
At Vanderbilt, it's Tim Corbin and the Vandy Boys, Jerry Stackhouse on the hardwood, and Clark Lee on the gridiron. Nashville, it's time to sit back, relax, grab a cold one, and enjoy the show. The Music City is our stage, and West End is where we rock. You're listening to The Door Report, the premier Vanderbilt podcast for fans who bleed black and gold. Commodore Nation, anchor down.
No strings till the Hank comes out. Make all the drunk girls scream and shout. We love it, we hate it, we're all just trying to make it in this crazy town.
Welcome into The Door Report. It is episode 225. It's been almost a month, boys. Thursday, July the 6th. Little summer vacation. I know I was on vacation. I don't know if the other two were on vacation at all. They're still grinding. Grind never stops for these boys covering Vandy. But no. but no vacation. I took a week off last week, but we're back. We're back and better than ever. And we've got another one of our Dog Days series to get to. Top five favorite Vandy memories. And yes, that means sports, that's a sports podcast. So favorite Vandy sports memories of your lifetime. And I have a feeling all of ours will be maybe same timeline, but I know Trevor teased us with his number one saying we may not remember it. So,
I think people who are even alive, like, are probably just not going to remember my number one because it's very sentimental to me.
I'm ready for this. I'm ready for Trevor's list. After hearing that tease,
especially after
my number one is hyper sentimental,
So yeah, these can be in person. These can be, you know, you were watching it on TV. You were at somebody's house. You didn't see all of it, but you were able to catch the end. You just any kind of Vanderbilt sports memory. This should be fun. So we'll get to those. Before we do though, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. But also, I'll get to that later. Messed up my reads here. Alaco Finewood Floors. Haven't even got to this read yet. Family owned and operated for over two decades, Alaco Finewood Floors is Nashville and Middle Tennessee's choice for premium quality hardwood floors. Since 1995, Jimmy Alaco and his army of employees have embodied the approach of taking pride in one's craft and providing superior customer service. If you're interested in contacting them, you can find their headquarters at 2505 Winford Avenue out in Berry Hill. Give them a call at 615-356-0303 or log on to AlacoFinewoodFloors.com. Guys, I know there's been a ton of football commits, but we're not going to dive into those too much. There's been so many, so we might save that down the road, maybe a recruiting recap as we get closer to the football season. But I do want to talk about some baseball because there has been some baseball activity, maybe not as much portal activity as some other schools, but for Vandy, they pick up Miller Green, a local pitcher at Lipscomb Academy, chose Vandy after deciding between Tennessee and Vandy after decommitting from Georgia Tech. So I think we want to talk a little bit about that. I know Nash on Twitter was fired up about that, big Lipscomb guy. Chase Burns to Vandy, ? Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. Nothing has been reported, really. Of course, TCU, Vanderbilt in the mix, maybe some other schools. We'll try to get to a little bit of that, but also top five favorite Vandy sports memories. This can be football, basketball, or baseball, maybe even if you were at the women's bowling national title. Maybe you can give us some details on that. But
that would be a pretty sick one.
Could you imagine? I mean, you have to have some connection to the women's bowling team to maybe
like
be
a family
emotional
member or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Do they sell tickets to the bowling national titles?
I don't know.
Who knows? Dude, who knows?
I work with a woman that has a daughter that bowls at some college, and I accidentally mentioned, like, oh, I'm a Vanderbilt fan. They have a good women's bowling team. And she started getting into, like, the dynamics of college women's bowling. And I was like, whoa, I have stepped way out of my sports knowledge zone. And I'm just, like, smiling and nodding, like, yeah, Vanderbilt's program is good. And she's like, oh, yeah, the coach is. Do you know who the coach is? And I'm like, nope, that's about all I know. So they're good, though, I'll tell you that.
Williamson, I think is, I know his last name. I don't know his first name, but
I just know they're a phenomenal dynasty.
Powerhouse. But yeah, bowling, you can get to that. Football, basketball, baseball, I'm sure those are going to be the three main ones for us. Before we do that, though, not wasting any time, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @door_report and Instagram, door.report. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And while you're at it, give our podcast 5 stars and a review on iTunes. All right, let's get to the breaking news.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No matter what style you're going for, you can trust your flooring job to Alaco Fine Wood Floors. Take a walk through the woods in your home every day. Get your flooring job started today by calling 615-356-0303. Alaco Fine Wood Floors. Craftsmanship you can stand on.
All right, not a whole lot to get to today. Obviously, the slow time of the year, off-season, boys. But I want to touch on Miller Green choosing Vandy over Tennessee. He's a local kid. I actually was able to watch him this year. He played in Division II AAA with Father Ryan, NBA, Innsworth, CPA. Great division for baseball. Lipscomb is a loaded team, especially these past 3 or 4 years. All kinds of talent, all kinds of D1 commits. And Trevor, I'll start with you here. Obviously, more of a baseball guy, but Miller Green is a guy that kind of under the radar because he was committed to Georgia Tech. And, you know, everyone thought, okay, he's going to stay at Georgia Tech, but he ends up decommitting because their pitching coach left. And for Vanderbilt, this is a big pickup. I think he went 7-0 this year with a 1.2 ERA, which is pretty ridiculous. I mean, even for the high school level, he's a good offensive player too. So we'll see if he decides to pick up the bat or stick to the mound. My gut tells me he becomes a pitcher. I mean, just with his height. I mean, he's a big guy, lefty. But chooses Vandy over Tennessee. I mean, Trev, that's I don't want to say that's becoming rare, but Tennessee and Vandy are just about even now in terms of prowess and high profile guys and portal activity and things like that. So anytime you're able to beat out really any SEC school in baseball is big. But Tennessee, you're in state, you're locking down that mid-state, and I don't know. I feel like this was a nice little pleasant surprise today, I think, for Vanderbilt fans, especially those that might be worried about the program, for better or for worse. I mean, obviously, we're not too panicked about it, but I mean, this was a nice little surprise to have after a couple tough seasons.
Yeah, no, a couple tough seasons is putting it lightly, too, by Vanderbilt standards. But I agree. I think he's probably going to be a pitcher, like you said. He's got like a 1.4 ERA, big kid. We know Vandy absolutely loves their left-handed pitchers. Probably going to be the normal. I mean, he's not like a Dekanich type guy to where he's going to come in and probably get some, at least before he blew his hamstring into 40 pieces. A guy who comes in on the midweek and gets some starts. He'll probably be your typical young guy, get some bullpen looks midweek, maybe
it's gonna take some time.
Weekend. Yeah, maybe some week. He's not going to be somebody who's going to be immediately thrusted into the starting role, which that's fine. It's not like Vanderbilt really needs it right now. But yeah, as much as you would like for him to probably pick up the bat and play a little offense and defense, a lefty pitcher, Tim Corbin's not going to pass that up. He's going to find himself on the mound.
Well, I liked Billy. I don't have a ton on this. You guys have hit on more than I know, but I just kept waiting after you said a big pickup, a huge pickup. He's 6'5", 220 pounds. I thought you were building up a joke about his about his size coming in, but
he's huge.
That's all I have to add. Big pickup as far as ratings go, big pickup as far as the brewing and continuing to grow rivalry with the Orange team out east, and big pickup literally, as he is going to be a big body on the mound, and maybe he could slide over and play tight end for the football team right now, because who's going to be doing that?
Clark knows
a sport athlete.
Clark knows a few things about going from baseball to football, so who knows? He might be. I know it didn't really work out with Cade Law. I think we wanted that to work out, but no, top five player in the state, guys. Anytime you can get a kid that talented is awesome. Joe Spears from the Tennessean wrote a really good piece about him, and he broke the story today. In the article, he said the type of discipline he will get with Tim Corbin's program was a big factor in his decision. So, and I don't want to say that's rare, but in today's day and age of high school athletes, you really don't see quotes like that. Like a lot of kids now, they're looking for the NIL money. They're looking for a player's coach. You know, they're looking to, you know, have some fun. And I'm not saying you're going to not going to have fun at Vanderbilt, but I mean, some of the quotes, go read that story in the Tennessean. It's really well put. He was talking about discipline. He said, I'll probably get chewed out by the staff eventually. And, you know, he wants it not just for baseball and his baseball career, but for life. I mean, that's a Vanderbilt kid like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a Vandy dude. It feels already. So good for Vanderbilt and that program. I just think it's a nice, pleasant surprise. And hopefully this translates to another huge get, not in the portal. Obviously Miller Green's a high school kid, but Chase Burns. What do we know here, guys? I know a few things. Not going to spoil my source here, but I'll basically paraphrase it by saying nothing's really developed. Nothing has changed other than it's Vandy. TCU, although it doesn't feel like as much of a factor anymore. Might have potentially been a lot of smokescreen stuff there. But again, this is transfer portal. You can only believe so much. And, you know, I think we saw where he unfollowed Vandy on Instagram. Whether that matters or not, who knows? But
yeah,
I wouldn't look too much into that. No. At the end of the day.
Can I make a comment? Because I know you guys are going to break down everything that's happened better than I am going to. I just want to comment on that part right there where everyone says, I wouldn't read too much into that. With the current college athlete and current recruit, we are older now. That means a lot. That is the main form of communication, is social media. Like, I do think that bears significant weight. Those little dumb things that us as old guys now, quote unquote, will say, oh, it doesn't matter if he's followed this tit program for the last month or last 6 months, and now he's unfollowed this program and followed this program. He did that intentionally. That was intentional to leave clues, because every single athlete in the transfer portal and modern recruiting is given little. I'm telling you, that's all we're going off of for the most part, but it does mean something. It does.
And I think it would mean a little bit more if he was following other programs. Like, let's say he unfollowed Vanderbilt and he was following LSU still. To me, like, I would be in the same boat, be like, guys, this is a bad sign. But he's not following any other college baseball. Why I'm sort of like,
even if he's laughing at it and saying, look at these idiots reading too much into it, he's intentionally doing it. And these guys are intentionally following and unfollowing and liking posts and doing all this. It's all intentional.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm getting at, is regardless of if it bears any actual weight on the recruiting process, this is really these guys doing these things on social media, and you're peeling back, you know, inside of their brain, is what I'm saying. If they're liking posts or whatever, and I know that's dumb because you'll see people taking screenshots of somebody's Twitter likes, and you're like, what the hell? Well, they were looking at that account and liking the content in the middle of their recruiting process. They're human beings. That means something.
Well, and the other part of it is, you know, he could come back here in a few days and follow them back like that. You know, it could flip just like that. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're good. But Vandy, we're good, guys. It's all fine. Like, so it's just.
Also, if I sound off track or if I sound insane, there is music that is getting progressively louder from one of my neighbors in some direction in the new apartment that I just moved into. And it is coming through my AirPods right now, even though they're supposed to be canceling noise. They are not. It's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I think I'm on the verge of a mental breakdown right now because the intrusive thoughts are winning. They're about to win so big.
Stay strong. We'll power through. We got top five Vandy memories to get to here.
We need it.
We'll keep track of Chase Burns for whatever that means. You know, we probably won't do it very well, but, you know, we'll see what happens with Chase Burns.
He does have until a week from today. He has to make an announcement.
Good point. So he has to make an announcement in a week. Yeah, he's going on some visits this week. I won't say where, but he's still visiting other schools, and we'll see. We'll see where that goes with Chase Burns, Tennessee native, former Tennessee Vol. How weird and but also awesome would that be for so many Vandy fans if he betrayed Tennessee and came to Vandy? We'll see what happens, though. All right, let's hop into it, guys. I'm fired up. I'm pumped up for this. Joe Fisher commented in on this tweet when we posted it earlier today. I actually sent him a message seeing if he wanted to join us tonight. So we'll see.
Oh, keep your, there's still time, Joe.
Keep your eyes and ears peeled on a potential Joe Fisher appearance later in this pod. Don't want to tease you guys, but that could be happening. So we'll see. But yeah, that's how much interaction. Over 30 responses to the tweet today about people listing their top five favorite Vandy memories. And, you know, this one's a little bit different than I'm already forgetting our last one. What was our last one? Top five players.
Top five players, yes.
Top five
players. Our top so, five, know, but our top five favorite our players, not the yes. top five greatest players.
Yes, very large distinction there. But that's different because I'm not going to say it, not as many stories are tied to players, but I mean, these are distinct memories where,
yeah,
I mean, every one of these you're going to have tied to your dad or a group of friends, or, you know, you were watching it at your house, you stayed up late to watch it, you went to the game, you know, you met some new people. So there's all kinds of different stuff that you can associate with this, but we're going to go 5-1. So we're going to go 5-4-3-2-1. And I thought that was pretty good. So we build up to our number ones. What was the order last time? Was it you, Will?
I started out. I just want to say that my suggestion that led to this was I wanted to do the top five most painful memories as a Vanderbilt fan, and I think that would have had some incredible commentary. Billy said, yes, let's try to keep it positive.
So the vibes are too high right now.
Yeah, the vibes are riding high. I want to
two
I
of the three major sports.
You want to talk about a tweet that would receive some interaction, Billy? I bet we would have more than 30 responses about the five most gut-wrenching painful moments in your Vanderbilt fandom career. Well, I guarantee that would get some fun interaction.
Those are wrapped into the fibers of being a Vandy fan, like how the painful, yeah, moments. Like,
I bet you would hear some, like,
very formative. Every,
yeah, there are like ones like the Ole Miss game or the Jeff Green walk. I think that there would be some really interesting canon event moments for some different, yeah, people commenting underneath in that 5-3 range. I think a lot of people's, yeah, top one or two might be really similar, but I think you'd have some interesting 90s, 80s games. Everybody has a different game that broke them as a Vanderbilt fan and turned them into who they are today. But everybody's breaking.
Will, you can't break different. What you can't break what's already broken.
You cannot break what's
no.
already broken.
I'll ask you this before we hop into it. Do we each know like the one moment in Vanderbilt history that was like a canon event and you're like, that's the one that broke me? Like, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Because
I know mine.
I go back to Temple, but there's so
Temple,
many.
That's, there, yeah.
There's
one that I'm thinking of that is a very pivotal moment in my life.
Like, I can give you, like, a step-by-step breakdown down the road of shame and sadness that has led me to how I am today. Like,
Will's memory.
Every one of them.
Will's list would start, like, as he woke up. And like, yeah, drives to the tailgate, like,
oh, dude,
you know, the stung by a bee, like the,
yeah, that's like one of the final ones. But yeah, that's oh, like one of the, God, final moments that I was already broken. And then
Will,
you're like,
wraps,
you can't break what's already broken. Turns, yeah, out you, yeah, can. You can shatter it into more pieces.
That's the aspect I would love about Will's. Like, it, he would,
yes,
wrap his personal life into it. I love it.
What's your number
one? You don't
learn
from the good times. You don't learn from the good times. You learn and grow from the hard and bad times. And you have plenty of those in my
Billy's
memory.
Is
Every
Temple. I want to know Will's number. You have to have like the one, though.
I mean, dude, it's Temple, but it's the build up to that Temple game. And then I would honestly,
yeah,
say I thought it was Temple. Like, I really thought that was the one. I can't be more broken than that. And I really think that Clark Lee ETSU opener was like the death knell. Like, that was really, I thought,
yeah,
I was broken. There's no more breaking. Like, I'm tiny little, literally sand sized pieces of glass.
Alabama under Mason was bad.
Down further.
See, my number one, like, that I had that I was like, okay, this is rock bottom. Like, it can't get any worse than this. Was, you guys remember 2011, Vanderbilt versus Arkansas? Vanderbilt is on, like, the 2-yard line, and they're about to take, like, a 2-possession lead. And Zach Stacy fumbles the ball, and they take,
yeah,
it back 99 yards to take. I was like, it can't get any worse than this. And then the Jeff Scott touchdown run, that was the straw that broke my back. Like, well, that was the one for me.
Part of it for the gut-wrenching Vandy fans, because of how gut-wrenching it is, it's because of how close you were. You had that hope. You were clinging to hope.
Snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory, as my father says.
That's the definition. If you had a phrase for being a Vandy fan, that's it, Trev. That's it. So,
snatching victory, it's defeat. You're just like, damn it.
Let's keep the positive vibes going. Of course, Trevor said two of the three major sports are riding pretty high right now. Basketball, I don't know about – it's honestly basketball and football, maybe? I mean, baseball –
did we sacrifice the Vandy boys for Vandy hoops and football? Did we do this?
That's what it feels like. It's.
I think we did.
I don't know if I like it, but I think some Vandy fans like it because
– you're going to like it come October.
Oh, yeah. Football season is coming. We're just a little over 50 days away.
51 Vandy. Days.
51. Trevor knows. Soon. Coming soon. So, all right, here we go. Top five Vandy memories. Will, Trevor, me. That's the order. Will, lead us off.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Like I said, the bad memories are a lot more, I would say, visible in my brain. I remember them clearly. That being said, this list was brutal. Like, just football games alone would have been tough enough. But I'm going to start out with number five. It may not be a specific memory moment, but it's going to be the Vanderbilt Auburn game in 2008, college game day on campus. That the buildup of that season that began with a 5-0 start, the buildup of that year. I remember I had an old Vanderbilt Nike shirt on, and it was building up to that Auburn game. College game day had been announced that it would be there. Vanderbilt's 4-0. We're riding high. We're feeling great. And I remember I think I was in the Target dressing room, and this woman was back there, and you have to be let in. I was a kid, 10 years old, having to try on clothes or whatever for school. And they were like, "Oh, Vanderbilt, are you a Vanderbilt fan?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have season tickets. I go to every game." And she said something like, "Oh, I hear they're doing really good this year, and I hope they just go all the way and win the national championship." And that was the first time as a Vanderbilt fan in my whole life that a Vanderbilt team, specifically within football, but a Vanderbilt football team had like local community respect. It was like, "Oh, that Vanderbilt team's good. Like, yeah, they're making us all proud. The local team is going to have college game day." So it's not just that Vanderbilt Auburn victory behind Mackenzie Adams, and also Mackenzie Adams' dad always standing at the Star Walk with his big guns, and his Mackenzie Adams jersey. But that whole season is probably one of the best memories, even though it didn't work out after that Auburn game, going 5-6, or going 6-6 and going to the Music City Bowl. But that start was the first time you felt that hype and felt like maybe Vanderbilt can do this. Maybe it's not impossible for them to have the national spotlight on them and succeed. I think my dad was like so cautious going into that game, like, "Yeah, you know, they've got college game day here. That's awesome, but they're going to come out and lay an egg. There's no way that they're going to come out and perform on the national stage." And they actually did, and actually came out, performed one. So that's my number five, even though it may not be a memory because, you know, slowly, piece by piece, those memories are fading away. In the earlier years prior to like 16 years old. So, but
imagine
number five, Vanderbilt Auburn. God,
geez, what a game that was.
That's a hell of a number five. Guys, imagine, picture this. We started the Door Report. We're a little bit older. We started the Door Report a couple years before that 2008 season. Could you imagine the vibes? College game day, Vandy, I mean, I can't even,
again.
I know, I can't even fathom them. But that's how far removed we are from like good, heavy, positive vibes for around Vanderbilt football. I think we got a taste of it last year, but I love that one, Will. That's a hell of a number five right there.
Yeah. Will, were you at that game?
In my head, yes. Yes, I was. I can't remember if I went to the college game. I was. But
you were at the game. See, I wasn't at the game, and that's like, of course, I watched it on TV, but that's like, if I could go back in time, then again, I was like 11 years old. Like, I didn't have any money to buy a ticket. But like, if I could go back to one game that I haven't been to in my lifetime, Like, that's the one I think I regret not going to the most.
I don't know if it's concussions. I don't know if it's high school sports. For me, it's so hard to differentiate because I've watched the replays of these games like 10,000 times over the years. Like, as I go up the list, I'm like, I was at these games, but my memories are associated with like the Joe Fisher call of the games, which is impossible because I was at the games. So it's like I wasn't listening to the Joe Fisher call live, but it is still tied to my memory of the game, like superimposed in my head. So reality and, you know, these fond memories kind of blur together in this episode, which might be fun.
I'll go with my number five. Whenever I look at my list, I think my number five is crazy that it's this low, because I was looking at a lot of people's other tweets and this was some people's number one, rightfully so. But my number five is the John Norwood home run.
You have to be going back to 1950 if you're number one. If that's number five.
No, I know. I tell you, like, and as we go on, it's gonna make sense. But like, my
Trevor's
list
number
is
one
very...
is gonna be like Vanderbilt's first national title in football in 1925.
No, you're gonna y'all are gonna people are going to hear my number one, and like it happened in our lifetime. Like, I'm 26. But if people are going to like hear this game, they're gonna be like, I don't remember that game, but I'll explain why it was like so special to
me. I'm intrigued.
But number five, I hate that it's this low, but it's and I'll tell you this, I don't remember what I was doing that night, but it was a Wednesday night that this game was played, and for some reason, I could not watch part of the game. I listened to it on some sort of app on my phone. It wasn't SiriusXM or like a Vanderbilt app, but it was like a weird radio app on my phone. And I remember I'm finally getting able to leave. I really don't remember. I think it was like a church event, to be honest with you. But I'm literally speeding home to get to my dad to watch the game. And for some reason, the radio's not working. So I'm driving and I'm on the speakerphone with my dad. And I just remember he's like doing a play by play. And then he gets really quiet and he goes, and I'm like, Dad, what? And he's like, I'm like swerving on the road. I'm like, and I got home in time to watch the final out with him and watch the dog pile. But like, I think that's why 2019 was so special, because like, I actually got to watch that series in its entirety with my dad. But that Norwood home run, like, I'll just remember it was dead silent. And my dad just goes, God, I'm like, Dad, what? And he's like, John Norwood. And I was like, oh God, that was.
I can't believe that's your five.
Also, I want to throw this in there. When you're yelling, Trev, your mic basically shuts off.
Yeah, so it's just dead silence.
I need to remember to use like my inside voice, and that I'm not like
if anybody's listening to this, you need the video content to get the full experience of
stand
Trevor's
up.
Rant right there.
Get out of your chair, yes. Stand up, and walk 10 feet back, and we might be able to
hear
you.
I'm just going to put my mic way back here behind my camera. and with that being said, basically what I said is my dad is screaming on the phone, Oh my God, John Norwood hit a home run. Can we hear that?
Yes.
We can hear that part.
Perfect. Okay, perfect.
Billy, I have one question.
Yeah.
So how I have this list written down, I think I may have messed up my number five, but that's fine. Is it going to be a situation if I wanted to combine kind of a 2008, because I meant to say my number five was the 08 Music City Bowl / the Auburn game. So, but I don't want to put those as separate ones, but the 2008 Music City Bowl, I just wanted to throw that.
Okay.
I might be getting to that later.
So,
yeah. So I just want to make sure that gets credit in
that
there.
That might just be
list,
in my list. So
my list is one of the ugliest notes you've ever seen in your life, just horrendously formatted. So the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm questioning what I was even trying to write down.
We'll get to that one later. That was a special night for a lot of people. But you're number five, the 2014 national title, the first national title in Vanderbilt history for the major sports. Interesting.
I know.
Bold strategy.
I know. It's I knew as soon as I started off with this list, I was like,
I mean, this is going to be a hell of a list.
This is going to get weird.
That's going to be a hell of a list, though, for you if that's number five. I mean,
my number one is hyper specific to me. Okay. And nobody else. People who even played in this game are like, that was the most meaningless game of all time. But to me, it was very important.
And I'm sure that's how it is for all three of us. You know, we tie personal, you know, relationships, memories with all five of these. So I like it. Number five for me, Clark Lee's first SEC win against Kentucky this past season.
Oh, God, what a good one, Billy.
Very, very emotional. Just very emotional day. I remember waking up and having a weird tingly feeling that something might just happen today. Like something might just happen. And my dad, who's the most negador person ever, like, you know, he's the negative, you know, get off my lawn. He's never excited for a win. You know, he just kind of, you know, cool. Good, you know, Vandy won, but he woke up, you know, we all got up early. It was a Saturday morning, football, kind of chilly outside. And he walks into our room with my brothers and goes, guys, we're going to beat Kentucky today. We're going to beat Kentucky. And you know, we were like, and then that kind of ruined our vibes. We're like, oh, now we're definitely not going to beat Kentucky, you know, so kind of shifted our vibes. So it was kind of a weird start to the day. But I think back to our conversation with Gavin Schoenwald about this game, and he talked in depth about it. And he said that obviously they went through some brutal weeks before that. They were riding a 26-game SEC losing streak. They had just lost to South Carolina. They have a bye week before this game, so they have 2 weeks to prepare to travel up to freezing cold Lexington, Kentucky. Kentucky didn't want to be there. Vandy put the hard hat on and their lunch pail and went to work and got the win 24-21. I think back to the play, Mike Wright to Will Shepard. I mean, the slant route, that took the lead, if I'm not mistaken. Vandy got a defensive stop.
Yes.
The opposite of what happened 2 years ago at South Carolina, where they just melted down with, 40 seconds left? I mean, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it was – and they had, like, no timeouts. Is that – or am I making that up? It was
no, I think you're right. They had a walk-on quarterback in there.
It was improbable.
Grad assistant quarterback, and they beat Vandy's. But the next year, Vandy finds a way to get stops and just a gritty win. And I think it really – it defined the state of the program and where they're at, right? They just broke a 26-game win streak. They go up to Kentucky. And, yeah, Kentucky, they had a banged-up quarterback. Their O-line wasn't very good. But they're still, you know, late in the Mark Stoops tenure. Like you know, that's one of the upper
– team.
Yeah, top 25 team, one of the better teams in the East the past few years. Like, I mean, that was a hell of a win. And, you know, it represented the beginning of, hopefully, guys, something special with Clark Lee. And so – but I go back to the emotional, you know, state of this win. I mean, Clark Lee's crying after the game, right? And yeah. And you know, that sort that makes Vandy fans cry like that. He that ties, you know, if your coach is crying after the game, it's like, okay, this means something to him, you know. And so for me, I had to go with that one. I had to put it in the top five. It had to be somewhere in the top five. Just it carries weight. Like, you know, we're gonna look back 5-6 years down the road and look at that game and say, man, we're never going to forget that, you know, that win up in Lexington where Vanderbilt just got it done. And I think of the word gritty, that they got it done and they end up beating Florida the next week, which was an unbelievable 2 week span. I mean, ridiculous. Then of course they lose to Tennessee, but Clark Lee's first SEC win. It goes down in the history books for him, for the program and for Vandy fans. So for me, that's my number five, Clark Lee's first SEC win.
I'll say this too. I think another reason that game was so special is because the night before you had an absolute dick punch from the basketball team to where they drop a game to Southern Miss. And
yes.
So going into that Saturday, you're like, last night was miserable. Today's probably going to be miserable. And then
you didn't really expect anything.
It absolutely was not miserable. It was an electric day.
It was one of those classic Vandy football days where you go in with zero expectation of winning. And they find a way to win. It's almost better like that, you know?
It was what a day that was.
Yeah, that was an amazing day. I think we had a spaces after that. And then
Ken
the next
Seals
week,
hopped in.
Yeah, Ken Seals hopped in. Great day. Yep. Gavin Schoenwald, if you want to learn more about that game and what led up to it, talk to Gavin Schoenwald. He has some great stories about it. So I had to put that in my top five.
That's a great one. That's in my honorable mentions. There's nothing that recent in my list, even though
that's
that
the most
one,
recent
if was.
For me. Yeah.
If there was a game, it's either that or Tyron Lawrence buzzer beater this past season. So those are the only ones that even crossed my mind, I would say, in the last 4 to 5 years. But so recap on that. What was yours, Trevor? Yours was the probably
Mine
the best
the
moment
John...
in the history of Vanderbilt Athletics. Probably the most significant number five.
I know.
All right. So I just wanted to make fun of Trevor's number five again before we moved on.
My dad's going to text me tomorrow. He's going to be like, son, what the hell?
Deservedly so. My number four, this one I've gone back and forth multiple times in my head of where I'm going to put this game in my top five list. But my number four is going to be Vanderbilt UT 2012. Absolutely whipping their ass in Nashville.
Destruction.
It could have been higher at one point. I think it was my number one memory in my list, but it slowly kind of trickled down, but it had to be included somewhere. It felt like finally redemption for Vanderbilt, who had been the better team the previous year and lost in 2011. Mm-hmm. I think the final score was like 27-20, and they should have beat that team. They were clearly better than UT, and it just felt like the dam finally broke. And it was like Vanderbilt's talent was just so much better than Tennessee during that game. And I have I think it's still framed in my dad's office, but my old childhood bedroom, the Tennessee in front page of Chris Boyd toe tapping in the back of the end zone off the tip of the UT corner. And it's actually autographed by him from a whatever little preseason thing that they did at that point. I've told that story before, but that game in particular, because it was just Door Jam. I always forget the name of what that is. I always want to call it the Star Walk, but that's just not right.
Door Jam.
That game in particular, it was kind of, I don't know. It just felt like Vanderbilt fans being redeemed for all of these years. And all those demons were exercised during that game of just pouring it on, because the final score, I think, was 41-18, but it should have been 41-10, because Cordarrelle Patterson returned a punt where he rolled on top of a Vanderbilt defender and never touched the ground to make that final score look a little bit better. So that one, just because going into that offseason, was just one of the most fun moments to be a Vanderbilt fan and just have that to hold over everyone wearing that ugly damn orange color the entire offseason, that the Vanderbilt football program was at that time so much better and in a so much better of a spot than UT. So I always like to go back into that memory bank when the dark times come and remember that wasn't so long ago.
The picture that will go down in history for Vanderbilt fans is Andre Howell intercepting, I don't know if it was a pick six or not, but Derek Dooley's background. Derek Dooley in the background. Was he sitting in it? Like, what was he sitting in? Did he have a stool?
I think he had a stool.
Yeah.
That was when he had the hip surgery before the game.
He like fell off his stool and it gets him like mid falling off of it as Andre Howell intercepts it. Just a microcosm of that game. Unbelievable.
I went back to watch highlights, which probably skewed what my real memories were even worse. But I was at that game. But Andre Howell had two interceptions that probably should have been pick sixes that he got tackled like
inside the 20
or inside the 10 both times. So I don't think he had any pick sixes that game, but he had two interceptions that one he got tackled by the QB. I can't remember the name at that point. And the other he got tripped up literally inside like the six.
Tyler Bray.
Tyler Bray.
It might have even been Justin Worley. Like that part of that.
Tyler Bray got benched mid game.
Like for Tennessee fans, I mean that was Peterman? Rock bottom for them. Yeah, no, not Peterman. He was later.
No, he was later. I think it was Worley. I think you're right.
Man, that team just had playmakers. Man,
sure did.
Well, too, made that game so special too is the year before that the video got leaked where Vanderbilt almost won in Knoxville, and Derek Dooley is quoted on video saying the one thing Tennessee always does is kick the shit out of Vanderbilt. And so you have to go into the offseason with that taste in your mouth. And that was a big redemption moment.
What a mistake.
That final score by Dooley. That final score was 41-18. And going back and watching that, you had the Cordarrelle Patterson punt return. Like I said, you also had Chris Quintero, I believe it was, have a touchdown pass just bounce off his hands
in the end zone Franklin to a UT pissed. Player. That game could have easily been, you know, like a 45-52 point win for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That was how good that memory is in my mind, is like Vanderbilt didn't even execute perfectly and had a lot of stupid mental mistakes during that game and still kicked the shit out of UT. So it probably should have been higher than number four, but that's number four on my list.
Love it.
I remember too, the first play of that game that Vanderbilt had on offense,
Zach Stacy,
was a bubble screen to Zach Stacy, and he takes it like 30-40 yards
to the 2-yard line.
I got so hyped and I screamed so much that I got super lightheaded and dizzy and like actually like took a tumble. And my dad is like picking me up. He's like, "Son, are you okay?" Because like I'm just like dazed and confused, just like my eyes are in the back of my head. I'm like, "Oh, Dad, I think I'm okay."
What a memory. He's like, I love it.
That was, oh my gosh, that was such a good game. That was such
Stay
a good
tuned,
game. Y'all are gonna hate my number four too. My number four is way too high. I understand this is a really weird list. Well, I don't know. Number four, very recent. Number four actually is the most recent. The Tyron Lawrence declaring he was coming back to Vanderbilt.
Wow.
That was a special moment because I think that signified, because as soon as he announced that he was in the portal, all of us collectively said it was over. Vanderbilt did not have the funds, did not have the facilities to bring back a star basketball player.
The resurrection.
That blue bloods and college basketball powerhouses had the funds to bring back. And we thought that Vanderbilt was dead to rights. And then all of a sudden, it's just like a teeny little pebble just starts falling down the hill and it just snowballs and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that moment was important because not only is Tyron Lawrence going to go down in the history books as one of everybody's favorite Commodores, that moment is significant for all of Vandy athletics because I think it showed that whenever it comes to sort of pay for play, Vanderbilt can step up to the plate and Vanderbilt can compete. And that was the one thing that one of the many things a lot of people had over Vanderbilt was if they got into a bidding war, we were just going to watch Vanderbilt bow out and just kiss the baby goodnight. And I think in that moment, they showed that that's not the case, that Vanderbilt and this particular administration does have the ability to rally the troops, does have the ability to fundraise, and does have the ability to get your stars and keep them on campus. And it's not like which the CJ Taylor situation is also, I think, a big deal whenever it comes to this, but it's not like CJ Taylor like entered the portal either. Like he was always a Commodore. Tyler Lawrence declared for the draft and then entered the portal. And so, I mean, it was just a left hook and a right hook to Vanderbilt. And you're like, there's no way they can recover. And I think not only was it getting Tyron back, I think it was the whole microcosm of this administration. It's not the same old Vandy anymore. That SOV mentality of just bowing out and letting the big dogs play, I think, is out the window. So it's not even really about Tyron. He obviously is a major piece in it, but I think for me, that was a huge step forward in showing that this particular administration is here to play, and we're not watching some same old Vanderbilt that's just going to be like, "Oh, well, whatever, guys, let's just stick to academics."
And that's also,
I was
going to
say, these other schools had resources, they had name, they had people on it, they had bigger collectives, bigger money, bigger checks. The Vanderbilt Commodores, there's one thing all these other schools forgot about. The Vanderbilt Commodores have Trevor, Hacksquat, Jim Duggan, Hoolan. And according to Tyron Lawrence, in not joking way whatsoever, the sole reason that he came back to Vanderbilt University and is going to be a Commodore this upcoming season, ladies and gentlemen.
What a fever dream that Trevor was. Hoolan. What a fever dream that
Straight
was.
From the horse's mouth. Yeah, I mean, it's word undeniable. For word. We have video evidence. Trevor, you are the sole reason I'm coming back to Vanderbilt.
That was, I told my dad, I was like, if you told 12-year-old Trevor that this would eventually be his life, he would like cry real tears on the spot. Like he'd be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe it." But man, yeah, that was a special moment. That was a very special moment.
And you're right that, you know, that signified Vanderbilt's here to play. You know, they're here to maybe pay for play, you know, whether it's that or not. But I mean, that's what it feels like. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Okay. Special moment there, not a certain game, but I didn't even think about moments like that where it's not in a game.
Yeah.
You know, Darius Garland committing. Like, that was a big day. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I'm putting that in my top five. I like the honorable mention.
I was
going to
say that whole offseason for Vanderbilt basketball is really the only non-game moment that I could say. But that vibe going into that Bryce Drew season with Semi Chatu, Darius Garland, and Aaron Nesmith all coming in, maybe that should have been somewhere on my list now that I'm thinking about it. Trevor, you said we weren't going to like your number four. I like your number four a lot. Like
also, if we do this in a couple years, the Clark Lee official hire date might like make the list. Yeah. Ask us in a couple years, and that might somehow crack the top five.
Yeah, especially if they get a bowl berth here. That'll bring back some memories of hiring Clark. Okay, number four for me, and this might be too low, but the 2012 SEC basketball title. And, you know, this had to be in the top five. I was trying to figure out where to put it. I end up putting it at number four. I have two emotional days. I think I cried after Clark Lee beat Kentucky, and then I think I cried today on this day. 2012 SEC basketball title, emotional. I mean, Kevin Stallings was crying after the game. The iconic photo of him with the towel, you know, kind of wrapped around his face, crying. That Kentucky team too won the national title that year. Like, that's what's unbelievable about that. Like, that was a damn good Kentucky team that Vanderbilt lost to twice in the regular season. They get another shot at them in New Orleans in front of Big Blue Nation. Right, there were probably, what, 2,000 Vandy fans there, and everyone else is wearing blue.
If that,
So, you know, that was a special day. The biggest play of that game was Kedron Johnson's and one reverse layup.
Yup.
The kid from Marshall County High School, like Tennessee kid, you know, plays at Vandy. He didn't play much that year. He was a reserve. He was young. I think he was a freshman. But he comes in and makes a huge play there at the end of the game. But that team, guys, this memory is tied into really that entire season. Like Tinsley, Jenkins, Taylor, Goulborn, and Azili. I mean, that'll go down as one of the best starting fives in Vanderbilt basketball history. First SEC basketball title since 1955. Like, you talk about history. I mean, that's a historic day. And so I think for Vandy fans, they look at that and what a day. I mean, you know you're making the NCAA tournament, but you kind of put the icing on top with and the SEC conference title is usually the last game of the day or one of the last games of that Sunday on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
And so tied with Selection Sunday, okay, where do we go? What seed do we get? They ended up getting number five. They beat Harvard, then they lost to Wisconsin. But I don't know, guys. I look back at this and I remember where I was. I wasn't down there, of course, and not many Vandy fans were, but you know, I was at my buddy's house and, you know, they could care less about Vandy. And they're like, what is this Billy kid freaking out about? Like, it's Vanderbilt, you know, but I mean, Vanderbilt basketball wins an SEC title like that. That's big time. I remember that day. I mean, that was celebration. You know, I remember
that was an emotional day.
I remember running and telling people, I didn't even know. Hey, Vandy just won the SEC title. Like, couldn't wait to see my dad and tell him the next day, that Monday at school. Was awesome. Like, you just, it's almost, you know, you want to beat your chest, you know, I mean, Vanderbilt is being an SEC title, like being an SEC champ is almost just as impressive. And I don't want to say this cause it's not, but Vanderbilt's not going to win many national titles. So if you win an SEC title like that, that's rare for Vanderbilt for any sport. I mean, and so to win an SEC title in one of the three major sports is huge. And so I had to put this 2012 basketball title. I know I would have probably had a memory of them making the Sweet 16, maybe beating beating Wisconsin. But that was the best memory of that season. And I know I was going to say, if they beat Kentucky at home, College Game Day was there. I was thinking about doing that one just because I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the game day show, but I was at that game. It was a late start on a Saturday night. Vanderbilt, they played well, but they didn't end up winning. I was tempted to throw that in there, but they didn't win. So I had to go 2012 SEC basketball title special day. I mean, we could say that about all these, but and the unsung hero of Kedron Johnson is one of my favorite parts of that. You know, I mean, after that reverse layup, after that reverse layup, it's like, we got this. You know, I mean, this is in the bag. Vandy.
And then he hits the and one.
Yeah, Vandy's SEC champs. And, you know, they won, and it's like you could hear like all 800 Vandy fans screaming. And it was like all the blue was just complete silent. I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that arena, which is what made it cool, too. So I got to go 2012 SEC basketball title for my number four.
Damn, Billy. That's a good one. Because that's my number three, so I'm not going to go into it again.
I've got another one of yours, SEC title.
But because Billy took my number three, well, that's my official number three. There was one game in particular that I just could not find room for on this list. Besides at number five, already trying to lump in the 2008 Auburn College Game Day game and the 2008 Music City Bowl. And Larry Smith kneeling down to secure that victory, trying to lump two games into my memory at number five. So number three, I'm going to go with a game that I didn't see mentioned and don't think it will be mentioned on either of your lists. Vanderbilt, Kansas State, with the infamous Nephi Lalau quote after the victory from the Commodores. That game day, I think it was 2017, was as electric as Vanderbilt has had of any environment since probably that 2013 Ole Miss game. That 2017 Kansas State game, I think it was kind of, you know, thrown into the garbage, baby out with the bathwater, because the next week they got absolutely dominated by a buzzsaw of Alabama. But there was a ton of hype going into that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the memory of that final stop, Kyle Shermer fumbling the snap, picking it up and reaching out to break the pylon. It was an ugly game, and it came down to it, and Vanderbilt got the stop on the last play of the game. So because you stole my number three of the 2012 SEC championship game, Billy, great choice at your number four. I'm just going to throw that one in honorable mention, because I don't want to recap that 2012 game again. The only thing I have to add in about the 2012 SEC title game for the basketball program, I was watching that with my cousin, who was a massive Kentucky basketball fan. He was real cocky at first. And Vanderbilt ended up winning that game. And he did the classic Kentucky fan thing, which was immediately following saying, "We don't care about the SEC championship. We're more focused on national championship." just like vintage. Whatever. My best friend growing up is also a Kentucky basketball fan, said the same thing. And then those sons of bitches went out and won the national championship and justified exactly what they said to my face. So that infuriated me a little bit, but it still comes in at number three on my list.
That was definitely stunning. I mean, going back to that game, like you said, Billy, where does the photo of Kevin Stallings crying into the Gatorade towel rank in all-time Vanderbilt photographs? It might be number two behind the dog pile against Virginia.
The TV cameras captured it. Like, it's a screenshot from the camera from shot.
The camera,
which is really cool. So, you know, another emotional tie, you know, after that game. I mean, Kevin Stallings, you really never saw him cry. So, he was letting it loose. So that's what makes it special, too.
God, that was such a good game. I cried at that. I was at home watching that. I sobbed during that game.
Again, you didn't think it was even possible. Like, Vandy's not beating Kentucky. You know, it was one of those things where you just did not think it was even possible.
They had Anthony Davis. I think, was Nolan's Norell on that team?
No, they Anthony Davis, Marcus Teague.
I know it was Anthony Davis.
Deron Lamb.
Yes.
Patrick Patterson. I mean, that was a freakish looking team.
Yeah. You can make the argument that's one of the best Kentucky teams of all time.
Yeah. And that's up
they
there.
They were unstoppable that season.
That's up there for greatest Vanderbilt moment. Like, you know, objectively.
Ever.
Yeah. Like, not even opinion. Like that's, I mean, not even just a favorite memory. Like, that's one of the greatest moments. So that's what makes it cool too.
I totally agree. So what are we on? Are we on number three?
Number three now. Here we go.
Yep. That was my, was my number three because Billy stole it. So, but yeah, that was my number three.
Okay. My number three, also another game that probably nobody really remembers or cares for. February 28th, 2012. It was my birthday. we went to O'Charlie's for my birthday dinner. And my mom and dad had the waitress bring out a happy birthday Vanderbilt cake for me. And they surprised me with tickets to the Vanderbilt game that night. Vanderbilt basketball senior night against number 8 Florida. So it's Jeff Taylor senior night. What was now John Jenkins senior night. It was all those guys senior nights against the number 8 Florida Gators. And Vanderbilt went in and won by 77-67. That was a special game. I think too, it was just like the whole, like, I just remember being like, oh, well, like, we can do whatever for dinner, but we got to get home so we can watch the Vanderbilt basketball game. And then, like, all of a sudden I just get surprised with tickets to see one of the best Vanderbilt basketball teams ever see their senior night. And so that was really cool. And where we were sitting, we were 2 rows up from the floor, opposite side, the visitor's bench. So it was like all like close and personal. I remember watching like Jeff Taylor. He obviously got his curtain call and John Jenkins hugged him and he was like crying into his shoulder. And that was that's all teams, period, out of all sports. That 2011-2012 Vanderbilt basketball team is either one or two for me, favorite teams I've ever seen in my life. God, I love those guys.
Well, and that was the last chance for Vandy fans. Yeah, to get to see him at home in the black and gold.
That was it. Yeah, that was their last game together in Nashville.
That signifies
it was against the top 18 top 10 team in Florida. Florida was good that year. They had some dogs, but man,
really good.
It was
really
a Super Tuesday team. Senior night. ESPN was there and everything. Yeah, yep. That was a fun game. That's my number 3.
Anytime Jimmy Dykes is calling the game, you know, with I guess it was Brad Nessler back then. You knew it was a big game. And for Vanderbilt to win that, you know, with the spotlight on him, I remember that pretty vividly. I wasn't there, and I was debating putting that in my top 5, just signifying the end of, you know, a phenomenal team. So, hell of a job.
I wouldn't call them a dynasty because they only won, like, really one title, but I'm the most successful Vanderbilt team in our lifetime. You got to see the end of them.
They stuck together. You know, they stuck together really from their freshman year all together. Jenkins was the only junior there. That ended up being his last home game too. So hell of a job there, Trev. Okay. Number 3 for me is one that Will has already mentioned. And I know Will and I always have two or three of the same ones in our top 5. 2012 football win over Tennessee. That's up there for me. Historic. 41-18, utter domination. After the game, the camera pans over to the fans and they zoom in on Vandy Lance crying. It's Vandy Lance and other Vandy fans just bawling their eyes out after they beat Tennessee for the first time at home since 1982. I mean, that was James Franklin's finest hour. He turned around at the cameras and threw up the VU, broke a 15-game losing streak to Tennessee. Like, this is ingrained in Vanderbilt fans' minds because it was against Tennessee. And, Will, you threw all of it out there. But just the utter domination. Like it would have been something if it was, you know, a comeback win by a field goal or a touchdown or two. But this was 41-18. Like, and as you mentioned, Will, this could have been a 50-point win. Like, if Vanderbilt wouldn't have screwed up a couple of plays. So, 2012 football win over Tennessee. I know we already talked a ton about it. But that's my number 3. It's tough to beat. I mean, it's just that for this generation of Vandy fans and even older Vandy fans like Vandy Lance, that's probably in his top 5 because he was there. You know, they're just anxiously waiting to finally beat Tennessee after 15 years. And then it had been since 1982. In the revealed video at the beginning of it, they showed the 1982 win and just the history behind it was really, really cool.
Both in gold jerseys.
Yeah, it's just the tradition of gold continues, like special night. And you know, Vanderbilt, they had a lot of talent, but the other fact of the matter is Tennessee was so down, like it was kicking a dead horse. Like that was part of the enjoyment. Like the entire state is at rock bottom because their beloved Tennessee Vols just lost to Vanderbilt. And it was almost like the death knell for Tennessee football. Even though they had plenty of other death nails after that. But I mean, it's by, you know, courtesy of Vanderbilt. So that for me, that'll go down in the history books. And I think that's in the top five for not just younger Vanderbilt fans, but older Vanderbilt fans as well. So for number three for me, the 2012 football win over Tennessee. Vandy did not beat Tennessee in 2020.
No, they did not.
Unfortunately, Billy, they didn't.
That's
come close.
An incredible one. I'm not sure if that'll be the last time we hear Tennessee's name in these top five lists. I don't think it will be. This is where the list got tough for me. I realized that there were really six I wanted to squeeze in, which is why I tried to bump the 2008 Music City Bowl to squeeze in with number five, because I realized I wasn't going to be able to squeeze three memories into the top two spots. But at number two, it's going to be Trevor's number five. It's going to be the Norwood home run, the 2014 national championship. I cannot believe, as the baseball guy that you are, Trevor, that was your number five memory. Let me get it pulled up here. I want to play this. I bookmarked it. I looked for it. The Joe Fisher call.
Oh my God.
The Norwood home run. I found it.
It welled in the left field line to the corner, to the wall, to the house. That ball is gone. That ball is gone. John Norwood. Oh my goodness! John Norwood, Vanderbilt's first home run of this College World Series, and the Commodores lead it 3-2.
That one right there.
Damn, that's so good.
To the house. I remember
that ball
watching
is gone.
That vividly.
That ball is gone.
That's why we went to unbelievable. That is why my number one is going to be what my number one is a specific Joe Fisher call that I've listened to probably 10,000 times on SoundCloud because I found the clip. But my number two is the Norwood home run, and specifically the memory associated with it, that Joe Fisher call is absolute audio beauty. I mean, it's why we miss Joe Fisher. It's why he is synonymous with Vanderbilt fans and the great memories that Vanderbilt fans have. Man. That call pulls it all together. Vanderbilt winning their first national championship. We already discussed it at Trevor's number five, but that's my number two, and I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked and disappointed.
Well, I'm still surprised that I'm still surprised it's at number three for Will. Like, I mean that's like number two. So Will's probably got a football for number one. I would venture to guess. So
I couldn't make it all football. It's I have a basketball in there at number three and baseball in there at number two. I'm diverse. Could have easily been all football for me, but there are a couple memories associated with other sports I had to throw in there.
All right, Trevor.
I can't believe I put that at five, man. I'm looking at my list right now, and I'm sure everybody feels the same way. There's like a few that are honorable mentions that like I can make the argument that they should be like top two or three, but oh my god. All right, my number two, Will. I think it was Will that said that wouldn't be the last time we hear about the Vols. My number two is not the 2012 game, even though that was very special. Mine is Vanderbilt versus Tennessee 2016. Tennessee comes to Nashville. If they win, they go to the Sugar Bowl. I think they started out 5-0 that year. They were rolling. Josh Dobbs, senior season, they had Alvin Kamara. They had all these guys, Josh Malone.
Yep.
I think Jalen Hurd was still playing at that point, though. He might have left with scrambled eggs for brains at some point during that season. But they come in. Are they top 15 or are they number?
Top 15 team in the country, I think.
And so I don't know from this game if there's a specific play. I think if I had to pick, there was one deep bomb from Kyle Shermer that Caleb Scott caught over, I think it was Cam Sutton, to get Vanderbilt in field goal range. They weren't quite into the red zone, but it was an absolute nuke of a pass. That was just a special game because going into that, I don't think anybody really thought that Vanderbilt would win that ball game. And somehow they just kept it very, very close. And then as time progressed throughout the ball game, Vanderbilt was still in it and leading. And I just remember being in the stands thinking, like, oh, my God, like I think they might do it. And I just remember as the game progressed, getting progressively more and more unhinged because I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. They're good. I think this was the Derek Mason dance on him game.
Yep.
That was Missouri, I thought.
No, that was God, I think it was Tennessee.
I think this is the Derek Mason He's where he danced right. on him in the post game, but that was 2012 was very special because that was very special for all Vandy fans, but I think it was more special for someone like my dad who had not seen a Vanderbilt win at home since 1982. He was at that game. So that was a full circle moment for him. But for me, I was a little bit older in 2016. I appreciated the game a little bit more than I did back in 2012. So for me, that 2016 game, that was a really, really special game. And two is because Tennessee had way more talent than Vanderbilt did. Like, Vanderbilt really had no yeah. business in that game. 2012, you can make the argument, like, Vanderbilt should have beat the hell out of them like they did. 2016 was a very pleasant surprise. That was a special moment.
And that win got Butch Jones fired. Like, that was the death nail. That was the death nail for Butch Jones. And that's what makes it even better. It was for bowl eligibility. Like, they got to mm-hmm. six wins.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that went into that. So I was tempted to put that one in there for my top five. But number two for me, Will had this, I think, at number five, maybe number four, the 2008 Music City Bowl, number five. This one's really personal for me yeah. because I was young, mm-hmm. you know, at 2008, I guess I was like 8 years old, but I remember it vividly. Because I went with my dad. It was freezing cold.
Oldest game I've ever been to.
Yeah, ice cold. Yeah. I mean, it was like you were in Alaska. First bowl win in 53 years. First appearance in a bowl game since 1982. And the MVP of the game was your punter, Brett Upson, which was just – it signified how ugly that game was. The offense –
it was so gross.
The offense for Vandy didn't score a touchdown. They had a little over 200 yards of offense. Larry Smith went in the game, I think, late for Mackenzie Adams. But, yeah, I remember going with my dad.
Larry started that game.
Okay, yeah. Larry started that. Might have been Chris Nixon.
I think it was Chris Nixon.
That was Chris Nixon's team.
Okay, but Larry came in, right? I'm not.
Yeah, it was like.
Yeah, he took the final kneel down. Right, yeah. He took the final kneel down in that game as a freshman.
I just remember being downtown for the first time for a sporting event like ever. And it was a big, like, ESPN was there, like, big moment for Vandy. Like, the nation's eyes were on it because, oh, look at Vandy, like, back in a bowl game for the first time since 1982. Bobby Johnson deserved this one. Like, I was happy for the players, for the fans, but Bobby Johnson, man, what a guy. I mean, he deserved more than just one bowl win. And he went through a lot, you know, that the administration really didn't help him out at all. And Clark will tell you this. Clark Lee played for Bobby Johnson, and so did Javon Hayes. So did Norval McKenzie. So did a lot of other really good players. They had some good players.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them stayed. Jay Cutler, Earl Bennett. A lot of them stayed at Vandy. You know, and ended up playing for Franklin and Robbie Caldwell. So they stayed. They had a good culture and just a great memory, man. I mean, Boston College was good. They were number 24 team in the country, I think. Like, that was a really good.
Dogs at linebacker.
Yeah, that was a really good Boston College team. I remember they had a good quarterback, good mobile quarterback, and Vanderbilt found a way. They found a way at, I think it was called LP Field back then, on the banks of the Cumberland River. On New Year's Eve, they get a bowl win.
God, that game was cold.
It was freezing.
So cold.
It was freezing. They have a winning season for the first time, I think, since 1982. Or not. Yeah, because they didn't have a winning season in 05. So, yeah, I guess that was the first winning season in a while. Just, I mean, special, man. Special, special night. And for me, it's a little bit more personal going with my dad, and I'll never forget that. You know, just kind of walking out. There are a lot of Vandy fans there. I know we saw a comment, and we'll get to some of these responses. We had somebody comment in and said that game sort of felt like a homecoming, you know, for a lot of people. And maybe that was 2012 he was talking about. But nonetheless, unbelievable moment for Vanderbilt football. And you go back, and that's really, you know, at least for me, the first huge Vanderbilt football moment. You know, I mean, 2008 Music City Bowl. I know that you have the Auburn game there, but I mean, bowl game that's a little bit more meaningful. And
yeah, that's
and
what Vanderbilt you're fighting for.
Yeah, and it's in Nashville. You know, I mean, being able to do it in Nashville was awesome. So a lot of memories tie with that. A little personal. Can't remember if I was crying or not, but I mean, I'm sure some Vandy fans were. 08 Music City Bowl. Had to have that at number two.
That's such
I
a good
vividly
pick.
Remember sitting in the upper deck, looking down.
I was in
left side. I can see that game and yep, remember how freezing
Same.
Cold it was.
I was that yeah, I was memory, in the red seats. I was in the red seats.
What made me like switch back when you asked if I went to the Auburn game, I was like, I think I'm associating these Music City Bowl memories with that 08 Auburn game, like College Game Day experience, because it all just lumps into my head. But that Music City Bowl, that was special. That was emotional. Yeah. Now that you're saying that,
recover
Billy,
the touchdown in the end zone.
I underrated that.
Yeah, I mean,
on my list. I feel ashamed.
It's just you tie it together and you forget, but you know, it's the end of the season. I remember going into the club level inside. There's so many people inside trying to stay warm. And,
really? I was club level too.
No way.
Were you? Did you sit behind Vanderbilt or Boston College?
I think I was Vandy that behind on Vandy's sideline.
Billy, we might have been sitting very close to each other. I was near the end zone, like where the houses were.
Will's like, screw y'all. I was up there freezing my ass off.
I was in high upper deck, like maybe the top row of the entire Tennessee Titans Stadium. I don't remember what it was called
and
at that point. LPC.
I'm glad.
Crazy.
I love the fact that we were all there. Like a lot of Vandy fans were there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you ask.
Yeah.
I'm sure you asked Vandy fans, like, yep, I was there. I was there, man. In
I was
Nashville,
there. Yep.
You got to go to it. So 08 Music City Bowl for me, special moment.
God, what a good, Billy, that's such a good pick.
That's a great one. Once again, we're hitting number one now. I'm going to run through the recap. So everybody go through their recap once they get up to theirs, and I'm sure we'll do it at the end. But
here we go.
Number five was the 08 season combining with the Music City Bowl. Vanderbilt Auburn game day was my number five. Number four, what was my number four? I'm forgetting what I even had now. That was 2012 UT. Number three was the SEC championship in 2012 for basketball. Number two, John Norwood's home run. Number one for me was Trevor's number two. It's Vanderbilt UT 2016. And once again, I said I would have memories associated with Joe Fisher calls. There are some great calls from Joe Fisher.
Champions
but he was
of
always,
life.
He was always the consummate professional. And he let his emotions go in 2016. I found it. I'm going to play the Joe Fisher call right now. Did that come through okay last time when I played it? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
34, and while the Valentinians might be the self-proclaimed champions of life, they're not champions of the state.
Chills.
Well, the Volunteers might be the self-proclaimed
champions
of life.
Well, the Volunteers might be the self-proclaimed champions of life. They're not champions
of this
state. And you asked about one specific play, Trevor. I was at that game. There are a couple reasons why this is number one on my list.
I was at that one, too.
You listed off Tennessee was 8-3. They basically just written off that they were going to go to the Sugar Bowl after they beat Vanderbilt. But there's one play in particular, and it's the Ralph Webb run into the end zone. Trucking over, I believe it was Todd Kelly, lowering his shoulder into his chest. And
just out of his way to
hit him. Point.
I remember that so vividly. And my dad's a little bit calmer than me. And as he's gotten older, he's calmed down a little bit. I have never, ever seen my father in the way that he was standing on the metal bleachers in Section J that is no longer there at Vanderbilt Stadium. Standing on top saying, get the hell out of my stadium. Get out. As UT fans are trickling down, you see the orange. I'm like calming him down. I'm like, dude, let's chill out a little bit. But that game, like you said, Trevor, 2012 was like, it was an exaltation of demons out of Vanderbilt fans. It's like, we are a better program right now. But that Ralph Webb trucking over Todd Kelly, obviously, you know, I think the ESPN announcing calls said, Ralph Webb, big hole, Ralph Webb, end zone, touchdown. And then on the replay, the color commentator said, that is exactly the type of right through him. And then obviously, you know, Derek Mason happened to ruin the entire Vanderbilt football program. But at that moment, I was like, maybe we've got something. in Derek Mason in the vest. And there was a little bit of grit and dog in that team. And it was the opposite of 2012. They didn't execute perfectly in 2012. In that 2016 game, they played about as perfect as you can possibly play. And Alvin Kamara.
Shermer was airing it out.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara misjudging the line of scrimmage marker for that first down marker to officially end the game and stepping out of bounds and going turning around as he realized he just voluntarily stepped out of bounds on fourth down short of the first down marker. The memory of that and being able to taunt UT fans with the fact that their player didn't know where the first down marker was. On fourth down was also pretty great. So there are a lot of reasons why that one's my number one, even though they're not logical reasons. I have so many great memories associated with that game and beating those guys in orange. It's not the Super Bowl, not the most important thing, but the ability to taunt like 80% of your friends for an entire offseason probably elevates those memories just a little bit in my mind.
Yeah. I love it.
I think what's so special about that game too, or not what's so special, but like, I remember growing up and before Vanderbilt hit like the 2010s to where they sort of exercised some demons, like you said. I remember my dad telling me, I don't remember what year it was, but it was leading up to a Tennessee game. And he was like, there have been games to where they like really beat the mess out of us. But he's like, there's been some games to where Vanderbilt should have won. And he's like, there's something about whenever Vanderbilt teams see that orange T on a helmet that they just sort of got scared and just folded up. And I think particularly it started with 2012 season, but I think the 2016 game too really signified that the culture of Vanderbilt football, like they don't view Tennessee like that way anymore. Like they're not the big bad boogeyman anymore. And then they went on to beat them 3 years in a row. But I think that signified that Vanderbilt has sort of gotten over this this mental hump, so to speak. And I think even though we haven't beat them since, 2019 now? So they've got on a little run against us. But I still think Vanderbilt fans feel that way to where they're not like the big bad boogeyman to where it's like, oh, like go ahead and chalk it up as an automatic L. Like you just realize – done it before, hopefully do it again. So that was a man, that was a special game. The puffy vest, I can't believe we put that in a case.
That was ridiculous.
I despised that in every way. That was so glad that we had an administration change since then.
Dude, honestly, we should just kept the vest. I think that's so funny.
The same people that chose to hang up that vest in a glass case are the same people that approved Derek Mason's motto of relentless, tough, intelligent.
That is true. But
horrendous.
I think the vest
and approved the shoulder caps.
That was
Clark Lee wouldn't even wear a vest to like a Christmas party. Like that, like Derek Mason showed up in a vest, like a winter vest for every home game almost like down the stretch.
It would be like 90 degrees outside in like early September. And he's like, got a vest on.
Like Derek Mason's vest had a Twitter account like that. It was ridiculous.
That was
hell of a list there.
That was, oh my God. I do think it is funny though. The Weeze. He put his vest on display for beating Tennessee. That is like actually kind of hilarious.
It is.
I can't believe you did that. That's hilarious to me.
If that was done in the way that I was hoping it was done, like in a tongue in cheek way, so that UT fans would be like, oh, Vanderbilt put the vest where they beat UT in a glass case. It's their trophy for the season. But I know it wasn't done in that way. I know it wasn't done.
That's a fair point.
I know it wasn't done in the way that we enjoyed it. I liked it because it was so stupid that it pissed off stupid UT fans. But I know the administration wasn't doing this double layer of irony thing.
Yeah.
So it was just stupid from them and ended up working out. So that's why I put it up there with the RTI slogan.
Now, if Vanderbilt beat Tennessee this year and Clark Lee was wearing some like kind of funky, crazy, like team issued beanie, I think this administration would do it in like the tongue in cheek, where they're like, let's put Clark Lee's beanie on display.
Well, Well, the difference
I don't think Clark would do that. Clark would be like, hell no, we're not
doing
that.
Yeah, see, I don't think that would happen.
I would be like, this,
that's the difference.
This that administration, is, yes. You can feel it when you talk or see any interviews, and we talked again to Story. Like, this administration's IQ level is, and like,
galaxy brain.
I won't even say IQ level because that's wrong.
It's just common sense.
In touch with sports. Nothing to do with IQ, but like being in touch with how human beings who like sports interact and communicate with each other. It's a whole different animal inside of Vanderbilt right now.
And I'll get to my number one, I swear to God, but a little off subject. I think that's a great point. And I think you even see that with the way Vanderbilt uses their socials now, that the people they have running their socials are clearly like people our age who are children of the internet and like come up with funny, like cool stuff. And I think that like finally, like I think the Vanderbilt, whoever runs the Vanderbilt basketball account is legitimately a hilarious person.
Vanderbilt's always been very picky about their brand and how it's portrayed. Like, I think that stems from the academic prestige of the university. But in the social media age with athletics, and they were just so picky about how their content was being shared.
Yeah.
And so it prevented them from ever going viral on any type of content on Twitter or on TikTok or on Instagram Reels, because they were literally making people take it down if they were using Vanderbilt content or messaging them saying, you don't have the rights to this. I'm like, it's free content, free promotion. And they finally have people in place, in charge of the social media, in charge of the athletic communications, that understand how social media works. And the more content that can be produced by these random accounts, the more exposure your brand has and the more brand name recognition that ultimately leads to more recruiting and national success. So, which
they're doing a great job.
Boys revolutionized. So it has been like, you've literally seen it happen like the last 5 to 6 years. It's been crazy.
Brand new Vandy.
Yep.
Dude. Not same SMB. Old Vandy dead. It's dead. I never want to hear anybody say that again. Okay. So I'm going to run through my fives. I had the Johnny Norwood home run at five. Yes. Tweet at me your displeasures. I don't care. John Norwood, home run number five. Number four, Tyron Lawrence with the I'm back tweet. Number three. God, what did I even have number three? 2011-2012 Vanderbilt men's basketball senior night, February 28th, 2012, against the number eight Florida Gators. That was my number three. Got to see the best Vanderbilt basketball team of our lifetime playing together one last time in person. My number two, Vanderbilt versus Tennessee 2016. Vanderbilt with the upset against Tennessee to keep them from going to the Sugar Bowl. And my number one, nobody is going to remember this. Nothing particularly special happened during this game, but it is very special because it is my first ever Vanderbilt football game that I ever attended. My dad surprised us in 2007. He told me, he's like, son, I'm finally taking you to a Vanderbilt football game. So in 2007, my dad surprised me with tickets to the home opener of Vanderbilt versus the Richmond Spiders. My very first ever Vanderbilt football event. As soon as I walked into Vanderbilt Stadium, now known as First Bank Stadium, I was absolutely hooked. I was enthralled. There was, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people there. I just got bit with the bug immediately. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the very first play of the game. Vanderbilt is on defense. Richmond's on offense. And it's 2007. I have no idea like what they're doing on the field, but Vanderbilt moves up to the line like they're going to blitz pre-snap. And I just remember my dad stands up and yells, "Here they come." And they snap the ball, and Marcus Buggs gets a sack and forces a fumble first play of the game. And I just remember my dad going crazy. I think I went crazy. I don't remember what it was, but it was, my very first ever football game shared with my father. That was a very special moment. That was if it was not for that game, I would not be the Vanderbilt football fan that I am today. So I remember at one point in the game, Vanderbilt was drubbing Richmond, and I found out that their nickname was the Spiders, so I started singing the Itsy Bitsy Spider song, like the Itsy Bitsy Spider. Spider, and that's the water spout. My dad is like, son, what are you doing? He's like, I vividly remember him being like, son, we got to be class acts about this, and I somehow turned out to be this after my father giving me the class act talk when I'm 10 years old.
That was the first act of violence.
That was a special, like, that was, I know that game means nothing to anybody else, but to me, the first ever football game I went with my dad, that was, I mean, yeah, that's my number one event over a national title, over beating Tennessee. That was a very special moment for me. Vanderbilt versus Richmond, 2007.
The Richmond Spiders versus the Vanderbilt Commodores. On a Saturday afternoon in Nashville, 2007.
Saturday night.
Oh, night game.
It was a night game.
That is tough.
Home opener. Very, very first play of the game. Vanderbilt blitzes and Marcus Bugs forces a fumble.
So, unironically, Trevor has the first national title in all three major sports at number 5, and Vanderbilt and Richmond at number 1. I love it.
Nothing will ever beat that game for me. No, first game with the old man, his first game in years. So, yeah, that was a Vanderbilt Richmond 2007. That's my number one.
Love it. All right, number one for me, I think both of y'all have already said it, the 2014 Baseball National Championship. John Norwood's home run. And Will already played the call, played two Joe Fisher calls today. And on that topic, we could probably have top 5 Joe Fisher calls. Like, I mean, maybe more than 5. Like, that's how special he was. First ever national title in any major sport. I remember it vividly. We were all at home, and the neighborhood was crazy. We had a couple other families that were watching it, and, you know, the houses were close together, and the house right across from us was watching it too, and we would, like, switch back from watching it at their house. And then if Vandy made an error, we would go back to our house, try to change the vibe.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun. And, you know, in our house, like, you know, it was, I remember we lived, it was like two houses ago, it was a smaller house, but I mean, we're all kind of packed into the living room. I don't know, man. It's just Vanderbilt baseball winning a national title. Like, they did it. Like, it has happened. Like, they made history. They won a national title, and it was special. Because it was unexpected. That team, if you look back, they got hot at the right time. They were, I'm not going to say an average team, but I mean, they weren't even a top 5 team really most of the season. You know,
that
they
was
were kind of
Virginia team.
Yeah, great Virginia team. Dansby Swanson's defense was huge late in the game. Adam Ravenel closing it out. Unexpected. That's the word that comes to mind because it made it more fun. It was like, okay, this could be Vandy's first national title. Not knocking the 2019 title, but let's face it, that was expected. I mean, like, that was an absolute powerhouse of a team. But what made 2014 so special was that it was almost lightning in a bottle. You know, you caught lightning in a bottle, and Vanderbilt wins it all. And it's, you know, you look back at that, and it's like, okay, that was – it wasn't the beginning of Tim Corbin's dominance because in 2008, of course, they had the number one team in the country, lost in the regional, but it was the beginning of the national prominence of Vanderbilt baseball. And then you saw the celebration when they got back in town, and you can't describe it. I mean, you cannot describe seeing your team win a national title. You really can't because it doesn't feel real. It's like, okay, we're the last team standing. We just won the national title. It's hard to describe. Ravenel closing it out. I'll never forget being at my house. We all kind of dogpile a little bit. You know, we're running around everywhere. We go to our neighbor's house. I mean, it was Will talked about Nashville, the community bonding together. It was like, I mean, I felt like everybody in Nashville was watching that. Everybody in our neighborhood was watching that game. And it was just awesome. I mean, I don't know that you will ever recapture that moment as a Vanderbilt fan. Now, I know football, if they, you know, for some reason go on to win a national title. So, I mean, that would obviously beat it. Basketball, if they ever won one, but I mean, you win a national title in the three major sports, like that doesn't happen. So I had to throw that in there. I'm surprised how similar we were. I know Trevor was kind of the outlier with the list, but Will and I, well, we had two or three of the same ones, but there it is. My number five, Clark Lee's first SEC win against Kentucky this past season. Number four, the 2012 SEC basketball title. Number three, the 2012 football win over Tennessee. Number two, 2008 Music City Bowl. And number one, 2014 baseball national championship. So there it is. We had a lot of comments, over 30 responses, and a lot of them were the same. Like, it's kind of...
Yeah, because, Billy, there haven't been that many great moments to be a Vanderbilt fan during our lifetimes, just to be honest with you. So there's only like about 8 to 10 if you're in your mid-20s to choose. Because probably, like, I want to include the Shane Foster senior night. It's kind of why I was hazy, because it's kind of my first memories on 2008. But if we're doing, like, memories, I mean, it's been a decently successful little stretch maybe in football. You have the national
part of the word memory means you remember it.
Exactly. It's not like the greatest, most memorable moments. It's like I wanted to have memories of these. And man, that's why I said I think the like disappointment and like what broke you top five moments may have a lot more variation. There may be a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of places that Vanderbilt fandom experience can go badly, I would say. And there's only a few that have kept us going, and they've kept us going pretty well, but they're few and far between.
They are the few, the proud. Adam on Twitter, beating Auburn on College Game Day, the 2014 Natty, the Kumar no hitter. That was a big one. Beating UT the day after they got ranked number one and it's snowing, made it a perfect whiteout. That was a big one. I wish I could remember that.
Yeah.
Mark McNulty, great list here. Obviously an older list. 1982, beat Tennessee. He stormed the field. 2023, beat Tennessee basketball, last second shot. He stormed the court. 2016, beat Kentucky in basketball. He stormed the court. Shane Foster, senior night, and the Robinette jump pass. Let's see here.
See, I'm just really surprised. I know it was an away game. I'm surprised none of us had that one in the list.
I wasn't there.
I wanted to find a way to include that because I vividly remember watching that on TV and the gut-wrenching part of that quarterback sneak that so clearly should have been a first down and was marked on the field on Vanderbilt's final drive is short. And they went on a video review and overturned that call. And Vanderbilt was able to drive down and score on that Patton Robinette jump pass because Vanderbilt lost that game. You felt the emotions of a loss. And when Vanderbilt should have won, played like crap, and then came back. And that might be that. You ask what the most memorable photo might be. It might be Robinette holding up the star V inside of Neyland after scoring the game-winning touchdown.
What about the Whit Taylor running in the touch of the game-winning touchdown with the football in the air?
Yeah.
That Robinette one, even though that wasn't on any of our top five lists, that might be one of the best image individual images in Vanderbilt sports history.
I think you're onto something.
I was at a Preds game watching that game in the concourse. I had already committed to going to a Preds game with a buddy. There's a bunch of Tennessee fans everywhere. But yeah, Scott on Twitter had Robinette, his fake jump pass, and his number one. He also had the Kentucky spaces at number four.
Oh.
That's up there, man. Awesome. I mean, That's up there.
I know it's so silly, like being like, oh, Tyron Lawrence announcing to come back or like the spaces. But for like people our age or like people who are in that, like.
I will never forget that night.
No. Or like you hear people who are like older than us being like, oh, after my favorite sports team won, calling in and like listening to the post game show. That Kentucky spaces after the SEC tournament, that was a special moment.
That was awesome.
My dad has number one, 82, beating Tennessee. He had his number five, 1974. My dad's old. Men's basketball, both wins against Bama were decided in the last 5 seconds. The team won the SEC.
Don't remember that.
Joe Fisher also dropped some favorites.
Did he really?
He did. You want to hear him?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Joe Fisher, the voice of the Commodores forever and always, my man. Worth Scott home run.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Moore half-court shot to beat Oregon.
Oh.
Jaron Kendall home run to beat Fullerton in Omaha.
Hmm.
Howlerda heave and NIT. Do I know that one?
Hallwerda, Jason Hallwerda.
Hallwerda.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know that one. Maybe my mind's just breaking. Oh, someone, Gary Lee on Twitter says his number one, Cutler to Bennett. That's a
I wish I could remember that.
That's right before my brain flipped on and started fully forming memories every single day.
You developed consciousness.
Yeah, that's one of those, like what I'm saying, where we have watched these moments so many times on old YouTube replays that I'm like, I have a vivid memory of that Cutler to Bennett pass. However, I have no idea if that's from actually watching it happen or if that's from just watching that replay and hearing that call over and over.
Somebody said the entire 2019 baseball season. That's a good one. I mean, that is
you will never
see a more dominant baseball team at Vanderbilt. I will go to the grave saying that. I don't think you'll see a more dominant college baseball team.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the greatest college baseball team of all time.
Yeah.
Fletch's Afro. This is a good one. No particular order. Fake jump pass. 2014 national title. Shane Foster's senior night. Wish I could remember that. Barry Goheen step back three versus Georgia and bombs in the bomb squad taking down number one North Carolina.
The bomb squad.
I've heard my dad talk about that one a lot.
Miller McKee has a good number four. Listening to the radio after Cutler to Bennett and their fans wanting Philip Fulmer dead. Oh, that's so great.
That's a really good one.
That's awesome. Man, that's we got really some good ones. One. Yeah, well, you're right.
Their number three is the K-State game.
Yeah, I was tempted to put that K-State game in my top five. That one's
forgotten about because it turned into a meme after the game. So I think Vanderbilt
the post-game interview with Nephi turned into a meme. Yeah,
I think that one is pushed like out of Vanderbilt fans' brains, even though that game had a lot of hype around it. And that Kansas State team, I believe, was ranked at the time that they
Vandy
came
fans
in.
Don't want to think about the joy because of the sorrow it produced. Like I've
always been realistic. I didn't think Vanderbilt was going to go in and beat Alabama, but like 0.1% of my brain was like, we might do it. the boys might go out and do it. Like, and I let that get, it's like the kids sitting there, the Vanderbilt meme sitting alone with the score 59-0 in the bleachers. Like, that was really me because I allowed the 0.1% of hope to really take over my brain. And by the time that kickoff happened, I was like, Pinckney and the boy and Shermer and the boys, they might give Ole Saban a game.
Vanderbilt. There was I totally
don't know how we play.
I was like, Vanderbilt's gonna win this game.
Yeah,
you don't know how we play.
I thought the same thing.
And I will hold to this. On the first drive for Vanderbilt, an interception on a perfectly thrown ball to Jared Pinckney bounced off Pinckney's hands and turned into a turnover. Vanderbilt was moving the ball at the beginning of that game, and immediately you felt all the air sucked out of that sideline. You felt the wind out of the sails, and that team stopped having any belief that they were going to win that game after they threw an interception on what should have been a catch to their star tight end. Bounced off his hands, and the rest is history.
Imagine.
And, you know, I think it kind of resets that whole season back to square one.
Imagine Vandy goes up 7-0 on Bama.
I would have ceased to exist. Like, I would have died on the spot.
That could have been a number five, Vandy leading Alabama 7-0 at the beginning of a game. Like, that could have been one of the...
When you asked at the beginning of this podcast, you were like, what was your breaking moment? I'm like, it's hard to say because I think it would be like that 2013 Ole Miss was the big break. But then there's also little nuanced things like that.
Little like, fractures.
Yeah, it's like, little you fractures. Know, that was the big break. But then it was like,
that was,
oh,
you broke
better.
Your femur. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was like, why did you get your hopes up again? Only
that
to
one
have
you tore your meniscus.
Crush. Yeah.
You tore your meniscus, but your femur was already snapped in half.
Yeah, really. Just... Yeah, really. What I tore my Achilles in that Ole Miss game. You're never the same after you tear your Achilles. Like it's a rubber band. They try to put it back together, but it never has that same elasticity. That
you
was
had
my
just,
soul.
You
after
had just
Ole Miss,
recovered.
I just
you had just recovered from tearing your Achilles, and then you got your leg chopped off.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, I tore my Achilles in 2013 with Ole Miss. Then I rehabbed real hard. And I came back for the Temple game in 2014. I tore my other Achilles. I mean, just ripped it. And I was like, damn, this is going to be a lot of rehab, a lot of offseason rehab. And then Derek Mason came in, and that happened. That was just a little meniscus tear, nothing too bad.
And then I would say the female kicker during COVID year.
Did you ever?
I was thinking to say like physically 2020, you're just the SpongeBob meme to where the dude is like wrapped in bandages in like a wheelchair with his leg up. Just like that's somehow that's still you alive. 2020 somehow against all odds. You're like the guy in 127 hours who's got his arm stuck between a rock and a wall in like the desert. And he's like, you're just sawing your arm off because you're like, I gotta survive.
Yeah, like that's we,
that's you being like Sarah Fuller, man. She might make this field goal right here. You're just sawing your arm off.
I'm sawing my arm off. Like,
it's not so bad. Maybe she's actually the best option. The students aren't able to be on campus because of COVID, and then Vanderbilt gets all this national attention, and they can't even get the ball in the range for her to attempt a field goal because they get dominated so badly by Missouri, and then Sarah Fuller comes onto the field to be the first female to play in a college football game, and they do a pooch kick, quote unquote. She shanked it. I don't care what they say. They said she told her to do that. Never in the history of SEC football have they told a kicker to kick it to the 30-yard line on a kickoff.
You continue to saw your arm because live during the game, well, maybe it just bounced off her foot the wrong way. Maybe it just maybe it really was a bad kick.
You get embarrassed, can't even get into the red zone, and then they literally don't have enough players to play the final game of the season against Georgia because they were going to get embarrassed badly under the Derek Mason regime. Under the Derek Mason regime, they literally couldn't play an SEC opponent. They were so bad. Thank you, Clark Lee, for getting us to the point we are at now. That we're not the laughing stock of the entire country. Thank you.
I just remember so many Georgia fans were mad on Twitter. They're like, you ruined our senior night. I'm like, dude, screw you guys. I don't care. I don't want to play this game.
Yeah,
I'm glad they canceled it.
We literally ran out of available men on Vanderbilt's campus to play on the football
team. They were DMing me on Twitter. They're like, bro, would you just suit up against Georgia?
Oh my God. There you have it. Top five favorite Vanderbilt memories. Not a lot of them. The few, the proud, but we got it in.
Marines.
So there you go. Top five Vanderbilt memories. We'll see what we got next week. For Will Byram, Trevor Hoolan, I'm Billy Derry. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of The Door Report, 51 days away from Vandy, Hawaii. Stay tuned.